Welcome to the Brad and Body Podcast. You already know who we are. We wouldn't be here, so let's not waste any more time. Here's Bradley.
Hello, everyone. Round four is in the bank. Welcome to the Brad and Body Podcast. Hello, Bossand, my friend. How are you?
Bradley, I'm fantastic. Thank you very much.
That was an entertaining round. It is my favourite time when I go, hello, Bossand, and you give me a little laugh. It is my favourite time of the pod.
Because you don't pronounce it correctly.
Mate, there is so much I don't pronounce correctly. Why start there? Mate, anyway, what a great round. There were some fantastic games. But there's some teams. All right, so let's just go through. We're not going to go slow.
Hang on, Brett. Yes. Sunday. Do you think we saw the semi-finalists on Sunday? And by that I mean,
well, yeah, I hear
Tasmania,
what you're saying.
Sydney, Melbourne, and New Zealand. Do you reckon that's our semi-finalists?
Three without a doubt. All right, three without a doubt in Sydney, Tasmania, and Melbourne. I need to see a little bit more of New Zealand, but I'm going to say yes. Yes. Like if you were asking me to give an answer, my answer would be yes. Okay. I don't think Southeast are going to be there. That's just my top. You know, they might make the play. Yep. You know what I mean?
And we'd like to see Cairns too. We'd like to see
and
what
that's
Cairns
was my offer. Next yep. kicker as yep. well. Yep. And I get yep. to see them this week. I'm in Wollongong to watch them play down there against obviously the struggling Hawkeyes team. But yeah, I was extremely impressed with Tasmania, but we'll talk about that. And, you know, I mean, everyone's like, you're a Kings man, blah, blah. I don't know how much you watched of that game, but at tip off, I predicted Tasmania to beat them. And not saying, hey,
well,
you
that's
know
everything. Different. That's different to what you said on the program last week. Last week I picked Tasmania and you went with Sydney.
Yeah, because I'll always go opposite to you. They just play that game where they're switching defense. But anyway, we'll come into that. Let's start. Adelaide, look poor against Southeast Melbourne, mate.
Oh, yeah. When the opposition goes on a 15-0 run and what you do is sub in your bench and give everyone court time and you wonder why you then lose by 17, you can't make up that difference. That was an example of really poor coaching. Mm. And I called CJ Bruton out on that at my website, as you probably saw.
Yes, I did. I did actually, sorry, let me just cut in there. Some really good articles this week, mate. I really enjoyed it. I thought the way you wrapped the round, you're right on point. So botinagy.com, brilliant reading. You've got to have a read of that. It's outstanding. But anyway, sorry, keep going, mate.
No, well, I appreciate that. But Southeast Melbourne really just took care of business. They came into town, they just took care of business in Adelaide.
Yeah, they did.
Adelaide sort of shot themselves in the foot, which is why I was so pleased in the next game because CJ shortened his rotation to eight, and it meant that poor old Trenton Flowers, the star of the win over Illawarra, didn't hit the pine. But nor did Alex Starling or Toe Smith-Milner or Nick Ma. Like, he basically cut it to eight guys, and these are the eight I'm going with, and it gave some of them a chance to settle into the game and get a groove of the game, like Galloway. He struggled to find the groove because you're in, you're out, you're in, you're out. Yep. You don't know when you're going. And because it was settled, they looked good, and Perth looked bloody awful, really. Michael Harris is doing, jacking up threes at the end of the game when it's still there to be saved, when you've got a proven match winner in Bryce Cotton. Perth have got real problems, Brad.
I'm worried about Illawarra. And, of course, it's not there's been this, target on emphasis on coaches this week. And the three coaches that have been spoken about is CJ, really, and Jacob. And I'm not surprised and deserved. And I'm struggling to see what Jacob is doing, because I'm going to talk about Illawarra, and I'm saying that because I see them a lot, obviously. Right. But I think I know what he's trying to do. I just don't know if it's going to work. And what I mean is he is moving so many bodies around. And what he's doing is he's giving these younger guys and everything, goes in and out and everything like that. But I just don't know when the time's going to come and say, right, that's my eight or nine. Right, because there is so many subs, and I'm just thinking to myself, it is.
You can't get stability on the floor, Brad. You've played and you've coached. You want to know what your role is, where you fit, This is the, if you're not a starter, you know this is the moment in the game I normally go in, and you're sort of comfortable in your role. Once you're comfortable in your role, well, your team's comfortable. Now you're playing good basketball. You know, it just stands to reason. And I think when you've got that many guys into the game, see, look, I look at the roster, I think, is pretty good.
It's better than last year, no question.
Yeah, but you've got to find a place for a veteran like Blanchfield. Does he have a place or not? And if he does, if he's your eighth man, well, then use him as your eighth man so that he can get accustomed to the role.
Well, same with Dan Greta. What's happening with Dan? You know, I like him, and you know, the imports are struggling. And I got asked this on air, you know, like their shooting percentage is poor and everything. And I was just like, I actually feel a little bit sorry for him in a way, because there's a lot of shots that they've got to take against the muscle. And the reason being is they're pulling the ball out of the net every single time. So then they go down and they run their offense, and with 8 seconds to go, Tyler Harvey always got to I've got to create something here, you know. So look, in saying that, I thought Melbourne were outstanding. Did everything they want to do. There was a time there in the second quarter, and it was 49 all with a minute and a bit to go, and there was a whole lot of substitutions made in and out of the game, and a young team was on for a minute to go. Instead of going in at, 49 all-ish, it was 58-51. Or 59-51, something like that. Hits the three and then a layup, right? Sorry, and then a free throw. So those are huge and key moments in the game. I was also disappointed, and I feel really sorry for Jacobus, because I understand. Like, this next star is a young guy, right? And it's a real gamble to get him in, but I thought he played pretty well, but we didn't see him after that until the end of the game when it was over. So, yeah, look, interesting times. We spoke about Phoenix. Brisbane, thoughts? That was a terrible loss, 23. Wow.
Yeah, I think they're sort of chasing their tail a bit at the moment, trying to find what their right combinations are. Again, you know, like Justin Schuller would be under less pressure, say, than a John Willey, CJ Bruton, or Jacob Jacobus. But he's got to start getting it right too. You know, he's got to sort out who he wants to play and how he wants to play them. That's the key. You know, once you sort of got down to these are the main guys that I'm using, and then people start to understand their roles. It's just about, really, you know this, Brad, coaching is about getting people to buy into what your philosophy is, assuming your philosophy is a good one. And then once you've got buy-in, get them to feel comfortable in what they're doing within that capacity.
Yep.
And away you go. You just grow from week to week.
So I just want to ask you, because I know you touched on it before, in the last three games, Perth has scored 81 at home in the loss to Melbourne, 86 on the road in the loss to the Kings, and then they came back and scored 78 in the loss to Adelaide, at Adelaide. Now, this team is a powerful offensive force. There is no question about that, right? You've got Bryce, you've got Corey Webster. I don't really put Ty in that big scoring component, right? So you've got Webster, and then you've got who's coming off the bench, and I'm trying to think of his name.
But you got Alex Starr, don't forget Bryce Cotton.
Hinder, who I was thinking of. Sorry, right?
So
when you've got those, I'm thinking you're not going to win many games. Yeah, that's some pie power. So that tells me Bryce looks very frustrated, but it tells me there's just something not going on with there. Now, I had a good chat with John Ridley last week when he was in Sydney, and he's very comfortable with his team, you know. So, but how long do these go? And now I'm going to throw the kicker into you. We know right now there is some serious people that got cut from the NBA.
Yeah.
Right? Xavier Cooks, gone from Washington. Jack White, gone. Are these guys like... What's going to happen here? Do these teams go after them, or no? That's not the answer. So let's talk Perth first. Over to you.
Perth's problem is that the way they're playing, that the game style that they've got sucks. It doesn't win. It's the same thing that Illawarra does. You just come down, you pass it once or twice, you drive, and maybe you dish, or you drive and get your shot blocked, or whatever, you make one, or you hit a three-pointer, you pass it, and you hit three. It's so boring. There's no real method to it. There's no real system. It's like we're copying the NBA, but we don't have NBA talent. It's like, well, hang on a second, this style isn't working, and that's what Perth is doing. Why can't Bryce get into the game? Because they don't run anything for him. It's all like, here, you got the ball, Bryce, go one-on-two, because you're always going to get the extra defender. And the good thing with Bryce is he's clever enough to find the open man, but then the open man doesn't necessarily knock it down. The system that they're using is what's wrong. Okay, and I know you're going to talk to that in a second when you talk about Tasmania. But the reality is that a Xavier Cooks or a Jack White, or even Dua Brees if he hadn't got the new deal at Portland, you know, these are just talented players. But if you're putting them into a crappy environment, they just become the same as everybody else.
Yeah.
You know, whereas you say, let's put one of those guys into Sydney, and they're going to flourish.
Yeah.
Let's put one of those guys into Melbourne. They're going to flourish because these are, or Tasmania, because they've got their systems established. And Cairns is the same. And New Zealand is the same. So there are clubs that are getting it right with what they're doing. Mm-hmm. It's not about personnel. I don't think there's too many teams in this league, Brad, that have got poor personnel.
Oh, no, I don't think there's one.
Yeah.
You know, there's not, and you're just so different. Well, there's two more teams I want to finish on, right? And then we're going to start to go into, you know, nasties and rattlers and moments, right?
So, what everyone's waiting for.
Exactly. New Zealand Breakers.
Yeah.
Can you tell much from that? Modi's right up there. I get it, right? But that was enough, wasn't it, to say, yeah, they're right there. They're just hard, getting off a plane, et cetera, which we're going to see from Cairns this week. But thoughts?
Yep. I like New Zealand. Zealand Cheatham, I thought he was unlucky not to get man of the match. He had a 30-point game, but a bunch of other stats right across the board. I mean, I know they sort of like to give it to someone from the winning team, and Ian Clark was, I'm not saying Ian Clark didn't have a really good game, but I'm looking at that New Zealand side. William McDowell White didn't have a very good game.
No,
below what you'd expect from him.
He's going to
be better. Finn Delaney wasn't at his best.
The only thing I'm worried about is, you know, this point guard is good, man. He's real good. Now, the best I've ever seen Will McDowell White was in that grand final series last year, or even in the semis, if you want to, back end of the year.
Yep.
He needs the ball in his hand. Playoffs, thank you. Yeah, he needs the ball in his hand. I just still look forward to see how they work together, because he was great last year. And I'm not saying they're better or worse. What I'm saying is that's got to work, or it will be their downfall for this season. That's how I see it, right? Because they've got great pieces. But some players are just really bad without the ball in their hand, or really bad with the ball in their hand, depending on who you talk about. And they both need the ball in their hand to be creative.
But here's the thing, though. You've got respect for the coach, right?
Totally.
He's brought these players in.
Yep.
So
he's got to play. Exactly. He's got to play.
That's right. He's going to make it work.
And I think you're right.
Yeah. And so I didn't see anything in their loss to Melbourne that made me think, oh yeah, they're heading down the ladder. I made them think that. I thought they're in the mix yet again. That's what I came away with.
Couldn't agree more. I will say, I didn't get to see that whole game because I was obviously at Kudos getting ready for my game. So I only saw bits. But what I saw, the last team, which, man, wow, we've spoken about the Kings enough, right? We know that, the Jack Jumpers.
Okay.
Oh man. I got to see them up front. You know, I'm always on here going, I love Scott Ross and everything. What I got to see on Sunday was an extremely well-coached team that absolutely took Sydney, torched them with everything that Sydney's strengths were. They had every answer under the sun.
Yeah.
That is, without a doubt, Tasmania are the Sydney Kings kryptonite, right? They are unbelievable.
They're even the right colour.
What, mate, they are phenomenal. And what I'm saying is the way they, because Sydney love to switch and they want to play a high-paced game, right? Cool, love that. And against teams like an Adelaide that we've seen and, you know, Illawarra and all these things, they can't stay with them for 40 minutes. Tasmania just took it out of them. Didn't give them many second opportunities. They don't turn the ball over. You want to switch, we're going to destroy you, and it's old-school basketball. I'm going to take you down in the block. Deng was outstanding at this when they had him on there. I'm going to take you down the block, and, okay, now I'm going to go to work, right? And I loved what they were able to bring. Mate, they are a top-two team the way I saw them play. They are.
From watching the game on TV and hearing the television coverage, I want to say how impressed I was that with 2 minutes to go, and it was obvious Sydney could no longer win the game, that you finally started to give Tasmania some credit.
a ball. Get lost. No way.
Captain King. Oh, my God. King's in-house commentary or what?
Yeah. I know you give me shit. But I know that, look, and as I said, I did predict him first because I am just – they're everyone's second team, right? But, yeah, you know, when they played that little two-man game with Steindl and Deng, I was just like, there's two bench guys, and they, you know, they scored 13 and 17. So they had 30 combined, right? Yeah. And I just thought, and it wasn't like they did anything ridiculous. They just played to their rules. This is what I'm saying, Brad.
They know their system. They know where they fit. They know what they're supposed to do, and that's what they go out and do.
How did they let Jack McVeigh go, man? Adelaide, whoa.
Yeah. Well, I think that, you know, how did Adelaide let Majok Deng go when he went and Anthony Drimmie? You know, you can Adelaide's made a lot of player mistakes, right?
Joe
back
Ingles,
to Mitch
Brad
Creed.
Uli,
exactly. So, you know, like, So tell me, tell me your best moment of the round. Best moment.
Oh, Jalen Galloway's dunk. Wow. Oh, man, come on. That's you. Oh, now you're going to say, the Kings.
No, it was a good dunk. No, I'm not going to say that. Instead of a Rosen Rattler, we've got a Rim Rattler.
unfortunately, he popped his shoulder, and I, as someone that's done that, that was a 6 weeks injury for me. I don't know how bad it popped. There's not a lot of talk at the moment about what's going on because they like to keep things in house. But that was a real shame. I was really liking. Obviously he was playing amazing, and I think that's a real loss for them. Although they pick up DJ, he should be back this week.
That's good.
So look, great dunk. If anyone hasn't seen it, oh my God, you've got to get out there and have a look. It was on Marcus Lee, by the way, on the dunk. Okay, give me your best moment.
My best moment was just the joy, the absolute joy on Isaac Humphries when that siren went and Adelaide had beaten Perth. Adelaide had played their best game of the season, the most consistent, controlled and disciplined game of the season. They didn't look great, but they looked good. And there's a difference, but up until now, they haven't even looked good. So looking good, but just seeing the joy on that man's face, 26-point game, they gave him the ball. They gave him the ball in positions where he could use it. He was aggressive. He attacked Keanu Pinder. He attacked the Perth Bigs all night. And just that joy, that was... When that siren went, that was palpable.
We have to stop the recording. I want everyone, you're sitting in your car at the moment going, what's Brad saying? Everyone, yes, Botty has a heart. Did you just hear that? The joy in his I got a little bit of a goosebumps there.
Yeah, did you?
What? Hang on. What have you done with Body? Who is this? What's...
Oh, don't worry. I got a nasty coming up.
Okay. All right. Well, you know what? I don't like this good stuff. Go straight into your nasty. Go for it.
Oh, well, okay. Well, my nasty actually isn't that nasty, Mike. It's the fact that I'm really thrilled that more and more games was having in-house commentary, commentators in the venues. You know, that whole studio thing, I understand when COVID happened and I understand why a lot of that occurred, but getting commentators back into the building, like in Adelaide to have John Casey and Andrew Gaze and Liam Santa Maria, in Sydney to have you and Jack Heverin and Derek Rucker, and in Melbourne, again, having a commentary team that's there.
Daniel Martin in Perth.
Trevor Gleeson. You're not just sort of trying to tell us what we were also seeing. You're actually there. You're feeling it. You're hearing what the coach is saying. You're seeing the Tadar tape between a couple of players. And, it's a huge difference and an upgrade. And I hope we get everybody back into every stadium and never go back to that studio unless, you know, we have another pandemic. So that's nasty, not so nasty.
No, that's as a commentator, I do say I'm loving it, I must admit. You really feel it. So, all right, my rattler. I'm actually going to Scott Roth on this, and I sort of mentioned it a little bit before. Every team at the moment is playing, in my opinion, as a track meet, right? And that's what this league is at the moment, right? right? And yeah. and it's what the boomers were you're trying to do, obviously, you know, at the Worlds mm-hmm. or do at the Paris Week, because you can't play this half court offense against European teams, right? So everything about the NBL is this track meet, which is very much like the NBA. You get up, I mean, you look at Cairns from memory, like, you know, you're talking their shot chart is ridiculously high because they run, they shoot the ball, and you know, we're not talking 60 shots a game, it's 80 and 90, right? So yep. so for that, I know what this league is doing. You look at the way everyone's built, it's speed, it's downhill, it's layups, it's everything. Everyone's doing it. And what people do is some teams just can't compete with others. So the Sydney Kings are outstanding at it. Melbourne are very good at it and outstanding as well. But some teams just can't compete over 40 minutes. Now, if I go back a week, I look at Perth. They tried. They just had nothing on the Kings in the end. Now, I'm using the Kings at the moment because they were the ones that are very predominant on this. Illawarra tried but couldn't do it for the whole 40 minutes. Tasmania, I just what Scott Roth does, he's like, no, that's not my plan, right? I'm going to go out and recruit players, which arguably you could say a few years ago, he did not bring in any like a, you know, a superstar or anything, just players that had, if you call it something to prove, or solid players, right? Yeah. But the way he runs his bench, the way he runs his starters, the program that he puts in, it is just, to me, a privilege to watch a guy go to work like that. He has got a plan, he sticks to it, and he succeeded on it. And I cannot give a better tick than that.
Okay, fantastic. Well, that's about it, isn't it? Oh, no, we've got a new little segment, we're calling it Player of the Round. So listeners, it's not necessarily the star of the round, but just somebody that Brad thought contributed in some way that's worth talking about, or that I think has contributed in some way that's worth making them the player of the round. So who, kick us off, Brad, our first ever player of the round, who is it?
I'll tell you what, you guys might think I live in Tasmania this week, but for me,
you're on to the call.
I'm gonna have to go Milton Doyle. Now, the reason I say that is in that first half, he was phenomenal. And he was doing everything that could be asked and more, right? And he was just, you know, the way he composed himself. And I'm not just sort of saying at the moment in this game, just the way he's been all year, I just love watching him. But I thought in this round he was great. Now, I know people will say, man, the point guard was unbelievable. Crawford, how can you not put him? No, that's not what I'm saying. He was great, Crawford, because he's not to hold a lot of shots down. But the fact that, that Milton Doyle can come on, it's like, well, okay, This Crawford, he's going to work now. All right, well, we make sure he gets us the win. Steindl, first quarter, you know, let's get him the ball. Bang, bang, bang. Milton Doyle, okay, well, no one's got that. Right now it's my time. I love him. There's mine. Yeah. Yours? Come on.
Just before I get off Milton Doyle, there's been a few people that have been likening him to Leroy Loggins. I actually think if you want to liken him to somebody, Robert Rose is more
lovely. Yes,
more like it. Yeah. I see the second coming of yeah, because he brings everything and he brings you what you need. You need scoring, okay, or you need pass, you need a rebound, you need a steal. Mm-hmm. That was Robert Rose, and that's what I see in Milton Doyle. My player of the round is completely different, and for completely different reasons. It is Rob Lowe from the Melbourne United. I think what he did against New Zealand was fantastic. And you're going to say he didn't get on the court against New Zealand. That's right. Mm. And what a team man, what a club man. He comes in to help out in an injury replacement crisis when Joe Lualatua is out for the first however long month or so of the season. And he comes in, he plays, he gives them good minutes. He's so much so that when everybody's back and healthy, they don't want to lose him. And he sits on the bench and he plays 0.00. He's up and about. He's cheering that team on. And it's against New Zealand, you know, the club that he's from and that he's last played for. And you'd think he'd be thinking, oh, geez, I want to get on there against some of the boys and have a bit of a whack here and dunk this and, you know, do a few things. No, he was happy to play his role in getting that team ready during the week to win that game and to also win in Wollongong. So I just think that attitude, that team person, he's my player of the round. I have nothing but admiration and respect for what he brought to what he's bringing to that club. And to a lesser extent, same for Brad Newley, but Rob was sort of, he's come in at the last minute, and then to sort of sit there and watch a game and be every bit engaged, as much engaged as you would be if you were playing, that's a fantastic effort.
Well, there it is. I love Boddy's player of the round moment. We'll get that. We'll keep going with that. I do enjoy that, Boddy, and that was great.
Okay.
Mate, thank you. That was really enjoyable. I hope our listeners, just to let you all know, people, we are going to do some more interviews. We just felt that this year there's so much going on with games and, you know, players, NBA guys maybe coming back and all of these things that we just wanted to talk about it. We're enjoying it. The feedback is great, but we will be getting some interviews and the WNBL starts soon. Boddy, mate, have a great week.
Hang on. Quickly, just give me one-word answers. Who's going to quickly win round five? New Zealand, Adelaide.
New Zealand.
Cairns, Illawarra.
Cairns. Oh, no, I'm going Illawarra because I think Cairns will be just jet-lagged and won't be able to go for 40.
Tasmania, Melbourne.
Oh, my God. That's in Tassie, isn't it? I'm going the Jackies.
Yep. Perth, Brisbane.
Yeah, Perth.
Cairns, Sydney.
That is so tough. DJ Hogue back on that job and that thing. I'm going to go, Cairns at home.
Good one. Melbourne, Illawarra.
Ah, Melbourne.
And Brisbane, Tasmania.
Brisbane in an upset. At home.
I like it.
That is an absolute left field one.
It is. Okay, goodbye. See you next week.
Everyone, thank you so much. And that is the Brad and Boddy podcast. See you next time. Have a good week. Mate, I've got to say, I love this moment of the best player of the round. Where'd that come from? Are you sitting with your wife? Because you can't think of that, mate. What is going on with you, mate? You're sitting there and you're like, I like this guy. And the moment around, you get a bit soft, mate. What's going on?
I don't know. It's a change of life. I think time, you know. Yeah, I'm going through that where I'm just becoming... I cry when I watch TV shows. And we're talking cartoons.
Oh, you told me you cry when you listen to my commentary.
That's for a whole other reason.